It is good to be with the saints this afternoon. Glad that you're here. We're working out of the book of Colossians. We're getting towards the end. We can see the finish line of chapter 1 here. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to be focusing specifically on verses 26 and 27, but we're going to start in verse 25 and read through verse 28. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. Powerful passage of scripture here. Before we dive into the mystery, before we dive into what that mystery is, I want to define another term briefly. Well, the term that I want to define is the promise, because the promise and the mystery are intricately connected. So if you look at Ephesians chapter 1, excuse me, let's actually start in Galatians chapter 3, and then we'll go to Ephesians 1. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3 verses 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So there are many different promises in the Bible. Okay? There are a promise of eternal life. Okay? But this promise in particular, the promise, what is it? It is the promise of the Spirit. The promise of the Spirit. The indwelling Spirit of Jesus Christ. When we look and we see the promise almost always is a reference to God's indwelling Holy Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 now. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. So the promise is the indwelling Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of promise. This is important because then when we define what the promise is, that illuminates things like Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Let's go ahead and go there. It's not the thrust of this morning, but you need to define the promise actually to be able to define the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38. Okay? We know that the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38 is talking about the indwelling Holy Spirit, but if we couldn't define the promise, we couldn't define what it is that you got at your immersion. You couldn't define that that's the indwelling Holy Spirit, that that's the manifestation of the Spirit that's given. So Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 and 39 make it clear then that a person receives the indwelling Holy Spirit at their immersion. Acts 2:38. And Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. For what? The promise. What's that a reference to? Not a reference to forgiveness of sins. It's not a reference to salvation. It's a reference to the Holy Spirit. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. So the promise is God's indwelling Holy Spirit. So then if we go to Colossians chapter 1, we can start to take on the mystery. Colossians 1, we're going to talk about fully carrying out the gospel towards the end of this message, but I want to move on to verse 26 real quick. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, we don't have to do a lot of work right here, because within the context, it's telling us what the mystery is. The mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, so the mystery is Christ in you, especially among the Gentiles. See, God's plan, we'll get to that later too. Okay, so I get excited and I get ahead of myself. And okay, so we go to Romans chapter 8. So that's going to talk about why it was a mystery. Romans chapter 8, Christ in you. That's what the mystery is, Christ in you. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. Romans 8, verses 9 through 11. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. This is not talking about multiple Holy Spirits. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. And what that's letting us know is that the Holy Spirit is, according to verse 9, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. Verse 10, Christ in you. Verse 11, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead. And then his Spirit. All names for the Holy Spirit. Christ in you, then, is the Holy Spirit. That's the mystery. Christ in you. Specifically, Christ in you, Gentiles. That's what the mystery is getting after. So the promise then and the mystery are the same thing. The promise and the mystery are both Christ in you. The promise, the Holy Spirit in you. The mystery, the Holy Spirit in you. With a specific connotation towards the Gentiles being brought in. Mystery. The Gentiles being brought in. And we'll see in just a little bit why that was a mystery. Okay? And so, Paul preaches the mystery. Back to Colossians 1. The thrust of Paul's preaching is about the Holy Spirit. So he finishes up in verse 27 there, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. We proclaim Christ in you. That's the proclamation that is being made by Paul. Paul is preaching a message of Christ in you. See, the message is not simply Christ. The message of Christ needs to be proclaimed. But the message of Christ is Christ in you. It's pretty exciting. Because if we look back here, okay, let's just do some reasoning here. If we look at verse 19, well, let's look at 18 and 19. And he is also the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in anything, in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. So if it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Jesus, how much of Jesus dwells in you? All of Jesus, right? So, all of the Father dwells in you. Everything about God then dwells in you. Does everything about God, did it dwell in Jesus? Yeah. Yeah. So the Spirit then dwells in the Christian. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians chapter 3. See, that lets us know the things that matter. Communicates to us the things that matter. And what matters is the Spirit who is on the inside. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise. We know what that is now, right? In Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister. He's referring again to his ministry here, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Wow. Wow. Some pretty incredible stuff that is going on here. See, the mystery was hidden to the past ages and generations, but now has been revealed that God's plan is Christ in you. God's plan is for his Holy Spirit to dwell in each and every one of you. We are the Gentiles by birth. And Christ, his plan throughout the ages has been that Christ would dwell in you. God came to save us through Jesus Christ. He came to all the world. But that is only made known progressively. First through Jesus Christ in the flesh, but it did not stop at Jesus Christ in the flesh. Jesus in the flesh, he came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You see that multiple times in the Gospels. Jesus is like, Gentile, why are you talking to me, right? What's going on? And the Gentile woman with great faith, it's like, well, Lord, even the dogs at the master's table lap up the bread, right? He said, your faith has made you well. Jesus in the flesh, he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But last time I read John 3:16, it said, for God so loved the world. It didn't say, for God so loved the Jews. I mean, maybe I missed an update. You know, the NASB, there was an 85 update, and then there was an update. Maybe I missed it somewhere. Maybe 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish. Maybe they changed that. God's not willing that the Jews should perish. Maybe that's how that reads now. 2 Peter 3:9, they changed that anywhere? Well, of course not, right? God's plan throughout the ages has to been to reconcile all men to himself, whosoever would. Okay? Whosoever would. That's who God is looking for. Okay, but God does that progressively. God doesn't do that all at once. He has to communicate to us in a manner that we are going to understand. So that's why it's a mystery. See, a mystery is a secret or a puzzle where the pieces have been hidden earlier. This is a secret to the past generations. In the Old Testament, it's a secret. There's a clue here, clue there, clue scattered over here. It's a mystery. You know, like any good mystery novelist, right? You know, you're writing a mystery novel, right? And those good mystery novelists, they'll put a little clue maybe in the first chapter. Nothing, always subtle, right? A little clue in the second chapter and a little misdirection in the third chapter. Then something else in the fourth chapter. Goes on and on and on, and usually they're trying to mislead you the whole time, and you should have saw it coming, right? Should have saw it. Then you read, okay, I see what the author was doing. They did leave me the clues. I just didn't pick up on the clues, right? I missed the clues. Well, God is leaving clues throughout the Old Testament about the mystery. That's where it's hidden. That's where the clues are. The clues are in the Old Testament. That's where the mystery is at. But now that mystery has been made known. It's been made manifest. After you read the book, the mystery is made manifest. Like, you know who done it, right? Well, we're on the other side understanding what the mystery is. Christ in you. But the Old Testament prophets, they didn't know. Let's give an example of this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. In you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Is that an inclusive statement? Well, who is excluded from all? Nobody. Right? So, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So is this a prophecy of Jesus? Well, a lot of times initially it's thought of as a prophecy of Jesus, and I would agree with you that it's a prophecy of Jesus in this. It's a prophecy of Jesus in the Spirit. In you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Remember, Jesus came in the flesh to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, right? So was it through Jesus in the flesh that all the families of the earth were going to be blessed? No. It was only through Jesus in the Spirit that all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. See, the mystery was hidden all throughout the Old Testament of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Rivers of living water is hidden all throughout the Old Testament. The mystery of Christ in you, that is Jesus Christ dwelling in the body of the Gentiles. Christ in you, the great mystery. See, in Galatians 3:13-14, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Right? Christ redeemed us in the curse of the law. Let's go ahead and go there. You know, it says, having become a curse for us, For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. So Christ redeemed us, or Christ saved us, in order that, in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. You suppose that might be the mystery? That is, Christ in you, or excuse me, so that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. See, Christ saved us, Christ forgave our sins, so that we might have Him dwell inside of us. Is it good news that Jesus came and died for our sins? But what this is saying is that that tremendous news that Jesus came and died for our sins, that tremendous, amazing, mind-blowing news that Jesus came and died for our sins is actually simply a vehicle to get us to the better news? Would that be some pretty incredible news? I mean, it is incredible news that Christ died for us. He reconciled us, starting with the cross. I mean, you can go back further, right? He lived the perfect life. He is the Lamb of God. He is the spotless, unblemished Passover Lamb. He had to shed His blood here on the earth. He sheds His blood here on the earth. He overcomes death. He comes out of that tomb. He goes on the other side of the cloud. He offers His blood as the great high priest in glory. It's all together. It's all inclusive. But the purpose of you receiving forgiveness of sins is so that Jesus could come dwell in you Gentiles. In me. So that the mystery might be made known. The mystery was hidden before, that the Old Testament prophets would look. They didn't even know what they were saying, guys. They're like, yeah, we're making this prophecy from God, and well, I don't know what it means. You know, it's like the Samaritan woman. Like, she's like, indoor plumbing, baby. You know, like, that's where her mind's at. Rivers of living water. Like, you know, I get a faucet and a toilet that flushes and a dishwasher, and this is tremendous. Rivers of living water. You know, Jesus is offering something so much greater. The rivers of living water, the promise of the Holy Spirit, not just for the Jews, but for the whole world. The mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the message of the gospel. The message of the Bible is Christ. The Bible is all about Christ. But not just Christ, don't hear that in the wrong way, but Christ in you. It's all about Jesus. But Jesus wants us to get that His mystery is Christ in you, so that He might fully carry out the preaching of the gospel. What this is telling us, brothers and sisters, is that if you don't preach the mystery of Jesus Christ, you have not fully carried out the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is absolutely fundamental. If your preaching does not include Christ in you, the hope of glory, as the emphasis of your preaching is not Bible preaching. It's preaching from man. See, for Him to be made, well, let's go back there to Colossians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Colossians 1, 27 and 28. Excuse me, the end of 25 there. Bestowed on me for your benefit that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. So for the preaching of the Word of God to be fully carried out, He has to make known what? The mystery of Jesus Christ. I have a fond memory of a Super Bowl from, I don't know, I can't remember the year, 2015, 2016. Super Bowl Sunday, we have assembly in Wauseon at 6:30. And so I turn off my phone and I record the Super Bowl, right? So I record the Super Bowl, and a lot of times what I can do is get home after assembly, start playing the Super Bowl, fast forward through the commercials. I mean, who watches those? Oh, wait, all the females raise their hand. At least if you're anything like my wife. You know, fast forward through the stupid halftime commercial or halftime show, right, and get to the game. A lot of times by the second half, I can catch up. So this Super Bowl was particularly exciting for me as my New England Patriots were once again in the Super Bowl. I know Browns fans, it's hard to imagine once again and Super Bowl being in the same sentence, but you'll get there someday. You just might not be alive. So, hey, truth hurts. So I'm watching my Patriots, and it was the year that they were playing the Seattle Seahawks. Right? And so, watching the Super Bowl, enjoying the Super Bowl, and I don't remember, I'm not one of these guys that remembers everything the way that it went exactly, but I'm pretty sure that the Patriots scored late to take the lead. And Patriots scored really late to take the lead, maybe less than 2 minutes to go in the game, and I remember feeling pretty comfortable with that, because even though the Patriots defense wasn't great, like, we didn't know that Russell Wilson was quite as good as we know that Russell Wilson is as good as he is now. So I was feeling pretty good. I was feeling pretty decent about the way that those things, that was playing out. Well, I don't remember what happened exactly, but there was a big play, and the Seahawks got it down the field, and they were like within, they were at the 2 yard line, I think it was. They're at the 2 yard line. And there was plenty of time. Like, they were going to have, they had timeouts. I think it was late in the game, but they had timeouts. They were, my Patriots were sunk. I just remember this feeling in the pit of my stomach. Like, man, they had the lead this late in the game. And this is it. They had one of the best running backs at the, in the league at the time in their backfield. They're going to be able to power this thing in, and my Patriots are going to lose. Well, Mr. Pete Carroll, head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, decided that they were going to throw the football instead of handing it off, and I'm not an NFL coach, so maybe it was the right call, I don't know. But Malcolm Butler intercepted the ball for the New England Patriots. New England Patriots, the Seattle Seahawks were at the 2 yard line. Patriots intercepted the ball, and the Patriots win the Super Bowl. I may or may not have woken up the neighbors, with my, screaming and joy, but I was pretty happy. Bring all of that up because preaching the gospel without preaching the mystery is like getting the ball to the 2 yard line and thinking that you've scored a touchdown. You haven't scored anything. You haven't won anything. The ball has not crossed the plane. No touchdown has been scored. See, the whole point is to score a touchdown. God's whole point in letting the clues of the mystery be hidden in the past ages is so that we might know what the mystery is, that is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that we might preach the mystery of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us Gentiles. Let's preach the full gospel. Let's score touchdowns.